The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country, 2 minutes at a time, for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Moving on from town to town.
Oh, is microphone on? Sorry about that. Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro. We're on the drill. Let's go to Dallas, Texas first and talk to Ari Timken from 105 The Fan. How you doing today, Ari?
Todd Lebo, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Everyone's all abuzz about the NBA draft. Kind of a big nothing burger for Dallas, right? Not really a part of this thing. What's it like when you're in a town with a big NBA team that people like and it's just really not a big thing this year?
There's an NBA team here? No, I mean, obviously the Mavericks, you know, were able to steal some Cowboys offseason headlines with their run of the Western Conference Finals. And look, I mean, I think the Mavs and Mavs fans are excited about Christian Wood, the acquisition there with the Rockets, which obviously took away their first-round pick. So, you know, they feel good about where they are. And you know, it was a really good, I think, piece to a team that needs more athleticism in their front court. And you know, and you know, more inside. They just got to absolutely destroy the boards throughout the playoffs and couldn't really have any rim protection. So, you know, Wood should help in that capacity. And that's kind of their pursuit this offseason, is to figure out how to shore up their front court, Lebo.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of weird. The NBA draft is an odd one. Sometimes people have all these picks, and sometimes you got a year where you traded someone away, and okay, you're all having your fun. But they seem to be fine. They'll get people's attention when they continue to win. That's the thing. But it is hard to knock the Cowboys out of anything. What's the latest controversy? Got anything fun down there with the Cowboys? What's going on with him right now?
You know, they haven't really had much controversy. It's kind of odd. It's been kind of a quiet offseason. Not much. I mean, you know, Dalton Schultz is upset he got the franchise tag. And if you're confused with who that is, you know, I mean, he's been a pretty productive tight end. But I don't know that he's one that the Cowboys are really wanting to pay a ton for. So, but, I mean, he basically held out from one OTA practice. And then was there for mandatory minicamp the next day or the next week. So I don't know what kind of a holdout that was, but you know, Cowboys, there's a lot of excitement and I guess some subdued optimism, which I think tends to be good for this organization.
Yeah, generally what happens, you know, when you have a playoff loss like they had last year, a nice regular season and the playoff loss, you just gotta sit there and chew on it for a while, and then you can't wait for the season to start. We heard that from the Chiefs in their mandatory mini camp last week. You know, they went a little bit further in the playoffs than Dallas did, but they're still thinking about that last game and how they let it get away. How does the failure in the postseason motivate this group of Cowboys as they get ready to have training camp in a month or so?
Well, I mean, for a long time there, the Cowboys had a lot more playoff success than the Chiefs, and obviously that is no longer the case. So it's been quite some time since the Cowboys have had success in the playoffs, you know, working on 30 years without much success there. So, you know, it should be a motivating factor. I think Dak Prescott, when you look at, you know, what happened at the end of last season, you know, he was not very good. And he started off as an MVP-type candidate and did not finish very strong. So that's the biggest piece to this thing, is how good is Dak Prescott? Because he showed the ability to be an elite quarterback. Was he hurt? And, you know, how much did that impact his play down the stretch? I mean, the people we spoke with said he felt fine, but clearly his play wasn't, and that's going to be the biggest indicator of their success this season. So you almost hope that he was hurt last year, so that's the reasonable excuse for why his play declined, because he wasn't good last year, and that's the reason they didn't go far in the playoffs.
Ari, we know you're tied in with the Big 12 as well with all the reporting you do down there. What sort of shockwaves have gone through the college football world with Arch Manning deciding he's going to take his talents to Texas?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's surprisingly not surprising that it's Texas. You know, I think if you followed this, Texas was really, had kind of become a leader, you know, in the last 6-7 months of this thing. So, you know, I think the surprising thing was the quick, you know, how quickly he decided. But, yeah, I mean, it's surprisingly, Texas isn't a surprise here. You know, Arch kind of, you know, loved Sark and A.J. Milwee, their quarterback's coach. They did a fantastic job. And you know, look, Sark is a dynamic recruiter. They have one of the top offensive line recruiting classes ever coming in next year. You know, and Quinn Ewers, this, you know, what he was coming out of high school, and now Arch Manning. So the recruiting's not the problem for Sark. He knows offensive football. The question is, can he be a head football coach? And he might just have too much talent where it won't even matter.
What sort of effect will this have on Quinn Ewers? I mean, he's there, and he's never played, you're right. He was at Ohio State last year, sitting on the bench and left.
Took two snaps, handed both of them off, so yeah.
Yeah,
made about $2 million to do so. How about that?
Not bad, but I mean, is he going to be? I don't know the kid. I don't know anything about him, but I know what I saw with him going to Ohio State, reclassifying, and getting the NIL money, then coming back. Not a big fan of the way that whole thing worked out. How will he mesh here with the Manning crew coming in a year?
Look, I mean, these are two highly competitive kids. I mean, you look at the rankings. There have been three, you know, quote unquote, perfect grades for high school quarterbacks, and the three were Vince Young, Quinn Ewers, and Arch Manning, surprisingly. So they're going to compete, but they're friends and friendly, and you know, I mean, it's a good problem to have, and that's part of managing this. I mean, you look at the riches at quarterback that Georgia had, and you know, and they chose Jake Fromm, and then all these guys transfer elsewhere, and Justin, and then I mean, unbelievably, they win a national championship with a former walk-on at quarterback. So I mean, it's just part of, you know, you have five-star kids coming in, you've got to manage it. I think best case scenario, he plays really well this year, plays really well next year when Arch is a freshman, and then moves on to the NFL.
Well, Ari, as someone who went to Oklahoma and watching two five-star quarterbacks destroy each other last year in a coach leave, I don't think it works all the time. We'll see how it works for Texas. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Take care, Lebo.
We're going to California and Texas and New York.
Let's go to New York right now and talk to Dan Schwartzman from D Sports Media. A little late-breaking news in the last day or so. Aaron Swartz, 1 year, $19 million to avoid an arbitration hearing that was scheduled for today. This has got to be good news for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Apparently, Todd, it occurred like literally minutes before noon when the arbitration hearing was supposed to happen, 4 to 5 hours online. Who the heck wants to sit through that nonsense? But the Yankees had proposed $17 million. Judge was at $21 million. Apparently, the Yankees had actually a few weeks ago told Judge, let's meet halfway at 19, and they declined that. But in this deal, from what we understand, he also has a couple of bonus opportunities, $250,000 if he wins AL MVP, which he's on his way to doing, and another $250,000 if he wins World Series MVP. So, you know, some give and take from both sides, and they agree on $19 million. But this is just the prelude, of course, to the big negotiation that happens next offseason.
We're talking to Dan Schwartzman about Aaron Judge. I just said Aaron Swartz because I'm talking to Dan Schwartzman.
I didn't want to say anything, though.
Aaron Swartz worked with us for about 10 years here on our morning show. So I got you guys all mixed up. I know this much. Neither one of these getting $19 million this year. Aaron's doing great out of radio. But he ain't making $19 million. What sort of numbers? I know the Yankees love Aaron Judge. They would love to sign him long term. What's his free agent contract going to look like when it comes to it?
It's a great question, but Todd, here's the problem. You know, the Yankees may have a number, and maybe that number is 8 years, $300 million, possibly. But there's a guy named Steve Cohen who resides across town as the owner of the Mets, and he's got the deepest pockets in baseball by a mile. The San Francisco Giants are going to be looking to spend, and there's one guy that they would spend on considering, well, Aaron Judge. Well, that's my daughter. She's giving her thoughts on Aaron Judge. But
of course.
Aaron Judge is looking in. I mean, you know, the San Francisco Giants looking at a guy from Linden, California, which is by Sacramento. He's a Fresno State guy, so not far from San Francisco. He'd be a great guy to bring back. I think the number has to start with a 3, and I think the years have to start with either an 8 or be a 10. And the question is, does Steve Cohen say, I'm going to break the bank just because I want to steal him from the Yankees, or do I save up for one more year and offer Shohei Ohtani $45 million? So interesting thoughts in terms of what Judge is going to be worth on the market.
Yeah, the numbers are going to be big. We know that for sure. The Yankees are obviously off to an amazing start. We were kind of joking around here the other day, when will the Royals win their 50th game? And we kind of came on the fact that it might be the middle of August, but they got to get hot to do that. It's early. They got to go win in the postseason. That's what it's all about. But this looks like an incredible baseball team this year.
It is. And what's amazing is I was actually talking to a friend of mine today about this. And they're number one in runs scored in all of baseball. And they're number one in runs allowed in all of baseball. And the starting pitching has been ridiculously great. Clay Holmes has been an unbelievable find in that bullpen. He's been the best closer in baseball right now. And the offense has come alive. And while they strike out a lot, look, Jose Trevino is an all-star catcher. Whoever thought that would happen? Isaac something, Kalefa, yeah, I can't pronounce his name, has been great at shortstop for them as a stopgap guy. Gleyber Torres has reemerged now that he's playing second base and has less pressure on him. He's hitting like the old Gleyber. And, you know, Stanton Rizzo's been awesome. I know he's hitting 235 or 240, but
He's really contributed. I mean, this is a team that all around, they've been getting great performances. And look, at some point you think, is the other shoe going to fall? But it hasn't, because they continue to win these games like they did last night, putting up a four spot in the ninth inning against the Astros, who are a great team. So they're that good. 52-18.
And the next best team in baseball, probably the Mets. I mean, they're playing really well right now. Now, the way this works in New York is generally it's Yankees, Yankees, Yankees. Is it that way now, or is the Steve Cohen, all the money and what the, you know, making the splash, signing Scherzer and winning games now this year, is it kind of the balance of power on the eyeballs and the attention, is it moving a little bit with the Mets or not?
No, the Yankees always have the back page, especially when they're this good, but the Mets are fun. Look, and I know I talked with Seren about this when it happened, but Buck Showalter was a great hire. He's a great manager. He gets the most out of his guys. He's able to adapt to what he has. He's winning these games, by the way. They have the second-best record in all of baseball, and Jacob deGrom has thrown a grand total of zero pitches this year, and Max Scherzer's missed, like, 40% of the season so far due to injury?
Right.
I mean, the Mets have won these games without their two aces pitching that much. So what happens if they come back healthy? I mean, this is a team that truly looks great, and, they're getting great performances from Alonso. McNeil's hitting again. It's a fun team to watch, but they're not the Yankees, and they'll always be that B team in New York, regardless of success.
All right, one of the favorite things any of us have when we watch drafts, the NFL draft with the Jets fans going nuts, and
that's
the me. NBA draft with the Knicks fans, and just all the attention on this. You know, you go draft someone, or you end up with the guy from France. I just, like, what's it like for these fans and this organization when they don't seem to ever make themselves happy?
You mean the great Ousmane Dieng from France?
Yes, the
great. Forget the legendary name. I mean,
Ousmane Dieng.
I'm a Knicks fan. I've put up with this nonsense. And it wasn't just Ousmane Dieng being drafted 11. They, for a very short amount of time, held the rights to Duran, the kid from Memphis.
Yeah.
Before they shipped him off in Kemba Walker's contract. And the Knicks, who obviously weren't a good team last year, have added a grand total of nobody except Trevor Keels in the second round, and yet they're patting themselves on the back because they have 11 first-round picks and 11 second-round picks over the next seven drafts. They're going all in on a guy named Jalen Brunson, of course, of the Dallas Mavericks. They freed up enough room. They still have to free up probably $7 million. They actually hired Brunson's father to be on Tom Thibodeau's coaching staff. I mean, look, he had a nice run with the Mavericks. They had a nice playoff run, but do you trust Jalen Brunson to be that difference-making point guard who's going to take you to the next level? Well, for Leon Rose's sake, he better darn well be, because he's apparently literally putting all his eggs in that basket. And if Leon Rose, who is a quote-unquote super agent, and he was, can't land Jalen Brunson, do it better just pack his office and walk out of New York, because they will literally go into his office, rip him out of there, and throw him to the curb. Because that's where he's heading right now, because he's done nothing.
One of the things I've always kind of talked about with people getting drafted is situation is key, right? You know, I know kids want to go to the big city, go to L.A., go to New York, whatever. But if you want to have success, you need to be at an organization that knows what they're doing, with players and coaches and general managers and trainers and all that stuff to know what they're doing. I would not want anyone I cared about to be drafted by the Knicks. I mean, you don't disagree with that, do you?
No, and here's the most amazing statistic, Todd. The New York Knicks haven't signed a first-round draft pick to a second contract since Charlie Ward.
Oh, my God.
And that was 1994, I believe, literally. Charlie Ward's the last New York Knicks first-round pick to actually get himself a second contract. That's called crap drafting. That's called just terrible player development. You look at the long laundry list of terrible players they brought in, from Michael Sweetney to Kevin Knox and all the great players they have not drafted because they brought in all these stiffs. It tells you why the New York Knicks never make the postseason and why they hate Dolan in New York, the owner of that team, because of the fact that they're just not a successful organization because they hired the wrong people. Phil Jackson was an abomination when he was running this team, making $10 million a year. So it's a joke, and it's tough being a Knicks fan and on draft night. It's become kind of funny to hear the name of the guy they called, knowing full well the guy's going to be a stiff.
Well, here's the deal. They got 11 first and second round draft picks over the next year. It's going to get better, Dan, right? It has to.
You got to hit on one, right? One out of 11 has got to work out, right?
It has to, man. Hey, thanks for the time. Enjoy the weekend, okay?
Sounds good, Todd. Take care.
All right, bud. What's your thoughts, though, for Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa? All right, moving on to Tampa now. Big, big game tonight. Huge game. Must-win game. We've got Zach Blobner from 620 down in Tampa. The Lightning and the Avalanche.
Tough one the other night in overtime, Zach. What did the Lightning have to do here to get this thing done on the road tonight and extend this series?
Shock the world, right? I mean, it's crazy to say that phrase when you're talking about the back-to-back Stanley Cup defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning, but that's the situation they're in. And look, it's hard to just look at Game 5. And I know there's the old adage, one game at a time. You know, just go out there and focus on those three periods, focus on playing your game that night. But, you know, I think for the rest of us on the outside, it's about the series and thinking about winning three straight. And if you're looking at 5, 6, and 7, Game 5 is going to be the toughest one. You're going to have to beat Colorado on their home ice, something that doesn't exactly happen, especially in this playoff postseason. So the Bolts have their work cut out for them. It looked like they were gassed at the end of Game 4 at Amalie Arena. And obviously, you know, there were some questionable things at the end there with the non-call for too many men on the ice, and Kadri scores the goal. But nonetheless, Tampa Bay was gassed. They were out of energy, and the Avs were skating all around them, which is kind of what it was like in Colorado the first two games. And I don't know how much the thin air plays into it, but whatever the issue is, whatever held back the Bolts, again, in Games 1 and 2 and in overtime of Game 4, they're going to have to fix it and find a way to outlast Colorado in Game 5. And I think that if they can find a way to do that, we're having a much more optimistic conversation about a potential three-peat. But Game 5 is going to be the tough one.
All right, Zach, you know, we don't have the NHL here in town, and I know it's not the biggest thing in the world in most of the markets it's in because the NFL runs the world. But the Lightning have been so good. How much of a Lightning town is Tampa? People get fired up about this, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been so interesting here because, you know, they're going for their third straight cup. The first one, well, their very first cup, obviously, was a ways back. And Amari St. Louis, Vinny LeCavalier, Hobby Bullen in net. But in terms of this three-peat, the first one was in the bubble up in Canada, right? So not exactly your normal coverage and reaction in terms of home ices and home crowds and all the travel and all the pageantry that goes along with it. And then last year, the divisions were a little bit different because they had it separated, also pandemic-related. So this is the first full year you're kind of getting that, you know, awesome celebration of this team that's out and about, and they're getting the coverage now that they've got the bigger network on board. And I think it's great for Tampa Bay, but everybody inside of Tampa Bay is used to it. It's really just exposing what Hockey Bay USA is for everybody outside of the area, and it's electric down here. You know, I think that I don't want to compare them to the Bucks, you know, or even the Rays on the other side of the bridge over in St. Pete. I think every little situation is different with each of the major sports, but you see the Lightning flags everywhere. You know, you go into sports bars around town, and they're on the TVs. So I think fans embrace hockey here as much as any other sport, and this time of year more than any other sport, obviously, with not a lot of competition there. Rays are mid-season, and Bucks aren't playing right now. So it is heavy Lightning fandom, and the sellouts for years now can prove that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 810 tonight at 7 o'clock our time. All right, let's talk a little Bucks. Gronk retired again, right? Is for real this time? What's going on?
I don't know, man. You know, it's so crazy. Like, we're so I don't know if it's the same for y'all watching all the craziness down here, but, like, ever since Brady got to Tampa Bay, I just don't buy anything at 100%. Because it's been like bizarro world, right? Like, he gets here, then you see Leonard Fournette. You mentioned Gronk has been back. Now he's retired. The Antonio Brown saga. You forget other guys, too, like LeSean McCoy, Richard Sherman. Like, there's been so many players end up on this Bucks roster in the last couple years. And Ndamukong Suh obviously isn't going to probably be a part of this, but he was around. I just don't know what to believe or not to believe until they start playing games in week one with Brady at the helm of this franchise at the moment. So, you know, do I think Gronk's 100% done? No, I wouldn't bet on that. Do I think he's for sure going to come back and play? No, I wouldn't bet on that either. I think you just got to keep an open mind, and you got to believe that whatever Brady wants, he's going to ultimately get. And if that's Gronk playing at some point, you know, next season, yeah, it's probably more likely to happen than not. I also thought it was interesting, the timing of it all. You know, roughly 40 days, you know, just under away from training camp, and not exactly fun to be in this Florida heat. Maybe Gronk's just trying to avoid some of those extra practices and wants to pull a Brady on Brady himself after he retired and came out.
Yeah, you never can tell what's going to happen with those guys. Now, the Rays have been very good and under the radar there, and I know they don't make the needle move as much down there because they ought to be playing outside in the sunshine, and they just don't. It's across the bridge, as you said. The Royals would love to be 5 games over .500, okay? Tampa's playing pretty well, but, man, this division is just so hard with how good the Yankees are. What's your thoughts about where the Rays are and what their chances are to make any noise as we get near the All-Star break?
I'm going to have to steal that audio bite from you and play it for our fans down here in Tampa, because they forget how, you know, this team is above 500. And even when they were 10 games over 500 and just getting into the not the last series, but the series before against New York in New York against the Yankees, you know, you would have thought the Rays were basement dwelling and just having an awful season. Somehow they are above the Mendoza line in terms of their record this year. And look, I don't know this for a fact. I got to go do some more research. I would argue, though, they're the most injured team in Major League Baseball this season. Wander Franco hasn't been back in yet. He's their superstar. He's the guy that's supposed to stir the pot of this team. He hasn't been playing. Brandon Lau is their best home run hitter. He hasn't been around it even longer than Franco being out. Their best all-star bullpen arm last year, Andrew Kittredge, he's done for the season this year. I could go on and on about the injuries. You know, Manny Margot has been one of their best hitters that actually has been healthy. He's banged up now. He's not playing. Kevin Kiermaier, the Golden Glove center fielder, he's banged up. He's not playing. And again, I just ran through a few names. I got like another list of them. And I don't want to blame it all on injuries, but I think you look at a team that's fighting and is above 500 and has, again, probably the most injured roster in baseball so far this season. And you have to believe that if they can get healthy, that they're going to be a much better team than we've seen so far. And I think that we just set the bar so high having a World Series appearance. And last year, the first time franchise gets 100-plus wins in a regular season. Yeah, the expectations are higher, and they should be. But I think you have to also be reasonable with where the team is at and why they're there. And I think more than anything, it is the injuries and the lack of those guys you expected to be day-to-day starters being available for your squad.
Yeah, the Royals would love the Rays problems, so send them this way. The Royals just had a nice road trip where they finished over 500, and they're still 25-43. So I'm not going to hear the tears of the Rays fans. Zach Blobner, thanks so much for your time. Let's hope the Lightning extend this series tonight.
I love it. Let's do it.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Who were the players the last time two KC area players were taken in the first round of the NBA draft?
I learned this on the Border Patrol this morning because I was listening intently.
Yes.
I didn't remember it till we talked again, but once you said the first name, I knew the second name.
Yes, from our friend Mick Schaefer, tweeted this out last night.
He's no friend of mine. I'm kidding. We love Mick.
Of course we do. John Konkak of Center.
Center High School, yes. SMU, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Harris of Blue Springs in 1985.
Old school Blue Springs, regular. Yep.
Konkak went number 5. Steve Harris went number 19.
Yeah. Good deal for them.
So it's been
a bit.
Since the year before I graduated from high school that this has happened.
Yeah, we've had two locals drafted. That's a good deal. Really was fun for them last night. That was a good deal. All right, so we're going to talk to David Leskey. 5:15, 5:20 or so. But the Royals news today is Salvador Perez on the injured list, 10-day IL, but he's having surgery. So that's going to be more than
It's not going to be 10.
Right. But they say they expect he could play this year.
Cut a hole in you and then
you're
back in 2 weeks.
Your thumb that you hold the bat with to swing it. It's going to be – now he is – he's been a fast healer in his life, but getting older.
He's also 32, so
getting older all around. So that's a rough pop for the Royals, who should have a little bit of bump coming home. They got the A's out there tonight. Zach Greinke's back on the hill, coming off the IL. Edward Olivares has been
reinstated
as well. So they've got some new faces up here. A successful winning 9-game road trip at 5-4. They had not done that. They still haven't gotten a sweep this year. They've won 3 in a row a couple of times, but haven't gotten a sweep. So,
remember how amazing the 16-4 start was in 03? I bring this up for a reason. So think about that. Was incredible. Well, oh my God, I can't believe how great they are. They're the reverse of that in series closing games this year. So
yeah.
4-16. They
not good.
It's one thing. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a bad record in getaway games, like when it's the next day, like day game after night game. When you're a team that doesn't have a lot of talent, you quite often roll out just out of necessity, particularly once you get into this part of the season. Some backups and if you're not very good, your backups are not going to be very good. And so teams with better depth than you, I think that the difference in the ability of one team to compared to the other is greatened in day game after night game situations. So I'm not surprised that their record is a little bit worse, but 4-16 is kind of otherworldly. And part of that is just, you know, that's baseball. So you've got a bad team who has not been helped out by any good fortune in those games. And back-to-back series in which they won the first two and then failed to sweep. Had the brooms taken out of their hands and smacked across the head with them.
Yeah, it hasn't gone very well.
and last two times they've been shut out in those games as well, which sometimes happens. You know, had it been a day game on Wednesday, I think, particularly with Ohtani on the mound, it's not unusual, I think, for a team that hasn't been hitting particularly well when they break out and have a big game. How many times does that happen where the next day it's just nothing? You know, day-night doubleheaders where game one, Royals score 7 or 8 runs, and then they score 1 or 0 in the nightcap. So 5-0, particularly with Ohtani, isn't that alarming.
Right.
Because in a lot of ways, we should have been able to see that coming after scoring 12 runs tonight before.
Well, I just don't look at the Royals and expect them to win any game, really. I mean, that's right. Just kind of how it is. You don't say, they're going to just stay hot here. Now, I do expect...
Tonight they're favorite, -135.
So because they're playing the A's, so yeah. Maybe you do expect them to win tonight. But then they come home, you know, they played all these games on the road, generally speaking, when most of us were asleep. Mm-hmm. They had a couple afternoon games, but for the most part, you know, especially the 12-11 game, you know,
most of us were asleep. Some of us didn't have power.
Those things happen.
Some of us didn't have power for about an hour,
and there's a good chunk of people who don't have the ability to watch them because they didn't have, you know, Bally Sports Plus is now live. You could pay them some money to do that now. So they were, you know, had a little thing. You got the app coming out. Salvi, IL. One of your guys who people pay attention to and want to watch play. It's just, and it really kind of just piles on each other.
And although there is an heir to the throne as far as a, you know, pay-to-watch-play guy in Bobby Witt Jr., he's not there yet. I mean, you don't quite have that.
Well, the excitement was there the very first week of the year because everyone wanted to watch him, and they couldn't do it then, and now they get this app finally ready. It's like,
He's not, at least he's not quite to Salvi range. But given the other things that he does, though, I think actually he kind of has become, to me, I think he's at a spot where if he might be enough to make a decision whether I was going to go or not. If I was on the fence on a regular night, the chance to watch him as he continues to move forward and start to pile up some numbers, I think he's a guy I would pay to play see.
Sure.
To see play. I had to get that sentence in the right. The words were all correct.
They were there. Just
they just
order them up,
kind of jumbled around, Aaron Swartz.
Order them up. It happens. so tonight, it's the Big Slick is going on. Mm-hmm. So the celebrity softball stuff. It's a big weekend to raise money for Children's Mercy, which is great. All of our local celebrities are back in town. And you know, so all those things were going on. And then, you know, it's just kind of a stinker for the Royals there. And it's hot out there, but it's not like awful.
Yeah,
it's
a little
nice
respite
weekend,
from the bad temps. But I think with Zach back, I think he should probably hit a pretty decent crowd tonight.
And what is a decent crowd anymore? That's interesting.
I bet they'll probably announce 25.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. So a few weeks ago,
what they announced and what's there, we've found are two different
the
things.
The Friday night game. There's fireworks and there's stuff like that. And it's Big Slick. This is the night there should
30.
Be a nice
they
crowd.
They might get 30 tonight, at least the announced crowd.
Well, they haven't had a 30,000 crowd this year, no, because opening day wasn't 30. The Houston game a few weeks ago, so Friday night, Houston's a draw, right? They have a good team, and they've they got some fans who actually followed them a little bit, you know, stuff like that. And I had some friends who were out there, and they were like, oh, man, it's a nice crowd out here tonight. Look, 22,000 announced. I'm like, that's what a nice crowd is now. It's pretty amazing to me. That's what it is. Now, maybe tonight will be good because of the Big Slick aspect of it. And all. I mean, the A's aren't a draw, certainly. But I don't know what a good crowd is anymore.
Yeah, I'm looking. There have been 5 home games this year in which they had 20,000.
Yeah, and the opening day was 27, I'm sure, 28.
It was 28-5 on opening day.
Right.
2 days later on Sunday, after back-to-back wins, they had 20,000,
mm-hmm.
and then they lost. Saturday,
well,
April
they lost 30th. The final game of a series?
That's unbelievable.
I don't believe you.
Saturday, April 30th, with the Yankees in town, there was 24.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, May 20th, opening of a series against the Twins, they had 25.
And
Friday, June
dogs.
3rd, the game you're talking about,
22-5. Yeah.
And that's it. So I
Friday
I think
seemed to be a night. It's
Friday.
Like people plan on it. It's a Friday night. Let's go to the
They've
game.
They've been out of town for a week and a half.
Right.
It's a decent night. Grinky back.
Celebrities are here.
I think I'll call 25 plus. I think they'll hit 25 pretty easily, at least on the announced attendance.
Well, that's
and
all I'll
give it an outside
announced.
Shot at 30.
Because I think there are fireworks. It's summer fireworks tonight. So we'll see. I won't eat my hat. I'll be surprised if it's 30. I'm not feeling you're hearing a buzz around. Let's go to the ballpark.
No.
30 seems like an impossible dream for this team. If you can't get 30 on opening day, 30 seems impossible to me. And it's like
25-3-10. I'll mark it down. 25-3.
You have it right in front of you. I think they've had 4 or 5 games announced under 10 this year at home. And to have only 5 over 20, and let's take opening day out of it, so maybe really 4 over 20, and I think they've had 4 or 5 under 10.
4.
4 under 10 at home. And that was unheard of, to have an under 10 crowd announced, because it's tickets sold.
Yeah.
They've certainly had less people at the games sometimes, but to have under 10.
And 2 of those 4 were under 9. They had 9,500 on April 14th against the Tigers, 9,100 in the first game of a doubleheader against the White Sox on May 17th, 11,000 for game 2.
People really got excited about that nightcap.
They did, which is amazing because they lost game 1, 3-0.
Yeah, people already had the tickets.
8,900 on April 11th against Cleveland, and then 8,900 April 20th against the Twins.
Those are monstrous crowds for what the Oakland A's are used to seeing. The Oakland A's may freak out if there's 20,000 people this game night. They have had crowds out there in the 2,000 range, under 3,000 announced at Oakland games. It's incredible. And they're generally on a Friday, they may be 12 or 14 or something, but their midweek games, it's unbelievable. I mean, there are, I'm not even joking here, way bigger crowds at rando college baseball games or at the Monarchs out here will draw better than the Oakland A's. The Savannah Bananas blow them out of the water with their attendance.
They've played 36 home games and have had attendance, total attendance of 300,000.
Wow.
That's an average of 8,300 a night.
That's incredible. That's their average.
And they have had, this is amazing, they've had 11 games under 5,000.
Wow.
And 3 games under 3,000.
You think they're just charging crazy amounts out there? Or it's still,
now,
it's probably $3 to
also,
get in on the secondary market. People aren't going.
Yeah, in fairness, they are 8-28 at
They're
home.
Not very good. No. They're not
8-28 at
but
home.
But this is what happens. You know, they don't really have a stadium. People want them in. It's just Oakland is Oakland, right? Oakland's lost their football team now. And their basketball team just won a title, but they did it across the bay. Because they've moved that. The Oracle is not there anymore. Oakland seems to be going the wrong way as far as you'd think maybe, gosh, all we got is the A's. Let's go out. And they're awful this year, okay? They're bad.
This is a bad year for them to be bad.
Yeah. Because you would think they could get a little bump. But, you know, they still, I don't think it's officially done, but they had all these plans to do baseball parks and all this stuff, and they just can't cut it.
But they were 86-76. They were 10 games over last year and still.
That didn't pump up the season tickets.
Still averaged.
Oh, it's nothing.
8,600 a game.
Yeah. Now, some of that may have been early in the year. They might have not been have fans in California. Or I don't know what their attendance restrictions were, but I don't think they needed to lift them. It wasn't a problem. If they were only saying you could have 20,000 or 20%, they'd have been fine all year out there on that. It's a shame, too, because, I mean, it's a franchise that's won a lot of baseball games the last 25 years. They haven't been able to win the World Series. They haven't made the World Series. But they, with small payrolls and all that stuff, with no fans caring about them, they've had some really nice baseball teams out there.
2019, they were 97-65 and averaged less than 20,000 per night.
That would frustrate you if you're a player out there, too, you know. Or you're part of the organization. It's just
Tampa's the same. I mean that place isn't quite the dump that the Oakland Coliseum is, but it's not a real life. I've heard people, Nate told me that if we actually go there, it looks better in person than it does on television. It looks terrible.
Yeah, it's very gray but and dark inside.
Tampa, who packs him in for football, packs him in for hockey.
Yeah, we were just talking, on the drill to Tampa. I mean, it's just – and it's not in Tampa. It's St. Petersburg. It's a Twin City type of thing. And it's a – if you live in Tampa, you got to cross this bridge. It's, it's not like the Bay Area. But it's not like an easy thing to get to. And if you don't want to go sit inside in the Sunshine State to watch a baseball game, maybe you're not going to go.
2019, they were 96-66.
Average 15 or something.
What's 1.17?
No, it's nothing.
Is this, I mean, I know their stadiums are garbage, but is this potentially a consequence of what you see when you make a team that wins a lot out of pieces that you feel you can just move around? I mean, we've talked about Dayton Moore and his propensity to want, and his promise, if you buy a player's jersey, he'll stick around, those sorts of things. Do you think this is because they just don't have at least one or two or three faces that they can really get attached to?
Oh, there's probably some of that there. I mean, they're just some guys. You get some guys and...
You're talking about Tampa Bay or Tampa or Oakland?
Well, both of them kind of design their teams that way.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think if the Royals were cranking out 95 win seasons
with the
collection of dudes, that place would be...
Yeah, there's something different about these places. Every night. And maybe it's because there's more stuff to do in Tampa. Yeah. Maybe you're out on a boat. I don't know. In Oakland, is there more to do? It's the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know this. If you were – it's got to be hard in the Bay Area because it's a big place, okay? It's a lot of people live there. But they got two choices to go watch Major League Baseball.
And one of them is really good.
One of them is really good and has a really cool stadium
park
where you can hit the ball in the water and all that. And the other one,
if you
go out there and you – if you're someone who helped pay for this, you go sit out there and you have a constant reminder when you stare at center field of this upper deck they stuck on with their own money for Al Davis, who now that team doesn't even play there anymore. I mean, that's got to be
–
get too deep in on it, but I would be like, what are we out here doing? What are we looking at here?
I look at old shots of the Oakland Coliseum, and it was always kind of odd because it was round and held that foul ground, but – the old shots looked kind of cool. You got kind of used to seeing that, and it looked like it might have been for a cookie cutter for a circular stadium. It might not have been a bad place to watch a game.
And now,
when you look at it, it just looks so bizarre.
And the Raiders are gone.
There's no
reason for that.
No.
I mean, and like I said, the Warriors are gone. They were right there. I mean, those were next to each other. It was like here, the arena and the football and baseball multi-purpose stadium right next to each other. And now they got these baseball games, and it's like wild. Anyway, so this, if it's 20-some thousand people, the A's might be frightened with all the people. They're probably used to playing in front of some people, and they probably don't pack them in on the road because this is not isn't your ticket that you're buying. Oh, the A's are coming to town. Let's go watch them. Name an A, free ticket.
They're playing primarily in the West. I don't know if Anaheim's cranking them out. Seattle, let me see what Seattle's doing.
I'm not bringing
them
in for the A's.
Seattle's middle of the pack.
It's rough.
The Rangers, I mean, it's a new ballpark, but they're not that great.
No, it's a nice night to go to the ballpark, though. If you're going out there, you'll enjoy it. The Big Slick is going on. There's fireworks. Zach Greinke's pitching. And the Royals are a favorite to win, which doesn't happen every day.
Get up.
Welcome back to the program. Todd Lebo, Curtis Siebold, Adam Dravetta, Ethan, or whatever they like to call you. The intern is here. Today we're rocking and rolling. David Leske will talk some Royals with us in the 5 o'clock hour.
Rawls.
And we're having some fun
having some fun. It's Friday, and it feels like summer now.
It does.
Like, you know, we got some vacations going on. Seren's out today. I know Steven's going to be out next week. We got lots of folks hitting the road, little lake life. When I drive home on Fridays now, it's like, oh, there's boats. People are going to the lake.
That's right.
I see it going down. It's happening. We feel like we're in the summertime now, don't you?
I think so. Like, the temperature wasn't enough to remind you when you start seeing
the mini camp is over for the Chiefs. Yep. We're just like, we're here. It's summer. Yeah.
I don't consider it summertime until the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff
tell you it's summertime.
Tell me it's summer.
Well, you could have played that anytime you wanted.
Temperature's about 88, you know.
Yeah. It's nice. Not bad. Not bad.
This isn't sports related, but I was just noticing, but Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Venmo that I think is a little odd to me, just that anyone you know on Venmo, you know when they paid somebody else on Venmo and what it was for.
Isn't there some way to make that private?
Yeah, you can make it private.
You can, and I'm not bothered by it, but it's just amazing. Oh, so-and-so bought so-and-so dinner. Okay, you know.
I don't know.
It's a little
deeply
more...
get into Venmo, so I don't go look at other people's stuff, but I know that you can.
But anyone, if you're looking for the first thing that pops up is okay, I see what happened there. Interesting. Some of the terminology it's used for things that are bought or sold to people is just kind of like, you wouldn't think that would be out there.
Curtis, if you see somebody made a transaction on Venmo and for the description, they just put the emoji of an eggplant, they didn't actually buy eggplants.
Yes,
using Venmo.
I'm familiar with what.
So if I go to where do I see that then? I just like I've got my people here. And if I got, I just have the list of my things.
Okay, now I have, I don't know how I got this.
I have a lot of $10 things on it when we had our basketball pool. And then I have the, when I had to pay Stephanie when she won the basketball pool.
Yes.
That's what we had.
It's like Twitter, but you have to pay to tweet.
Yeah, that's it. You just pay to tweet.
There it is.
I don't understand why they force you to give a reason. Like, if you just want to pay it, it makes you give a description of
it does?
What you're paying for. Yeah,
you could just put like a dot.
You could put just a letter in there. The suggestion is always they know it's clearly made for guys like Curtis and I because the default suggestion if you don't put a description in there is
food.
It's kale salad with blah 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 and yeah.
You know, that ain't gonna be me. Kale,
I think I might have mine private because I don't have not seeing everyone else's.
I made one public ever, and it was because a friend, we had this big party, and a friend's husband, now ex-husband, who never much cared for me, and is kind of a very straight-laced, buttoned-up guy.
Who wouldn't care for you?
This guy. Anyway, he's very straight-laced, buttoned-up guy, and I put a long list of things that the money was not for what I described it for.
Right.
He
didn't think it was funny, did he?
Some ladies of the evening, and then I put a quick note on there that says, hope whatever the redhead gave you is cleared up.
Oh,
and,
boy. See, those aren't jokes people want to have.
Well,
I understand why this guy doesn't like you.
I can see that.
Well, I made that knowing he didn't like me and knowing that would annoy him, so that was the point of that.
Sounds like you're a bit of a scoundrel.
You could say that.
A bit of a scoundrel. I don't know. Yeah, we don't want to get Seren's on vacation. We don't want him talking about Venmo.
No, probably not.
He's already given me an earful about his issues. We almost got into that last week on the air about that. I said, no. We're not going there.
What's the deal with Venmo?
But if you were dating someone, you saw they had paid some other person for like dinner, you're like, hey, wait a minute. Who's this?
Who's Derek? What is going on here? Why are you guys sharing this dinner?
Oopsie.
I don't know. It is amazing, though, that you can just... This is how the kids do it now. Right, Ethan? This is how the world works. It's all just like you just...
Everybody pays with Venmo.
Do you have any cash in your pocket right now?
No, I do not.
Not one penny?
Not a penny.
Not a penny. You have a debit card.
I do.
You have a debit card, and you know your Venmo on your phone.
Yes.
You Cash App, too, or just Venmo?
Nope, just Venmo.
Venmo, straight Venmo.
That's all I need.
It's one of our deals.
Straight Venmo, homie.
Jack Johnson, mm-hmm. who you hear on the air around here, like when we were doing the Final Four thing and people had to Venmo me their entry or give me cash. I was taking cash. He's like, do you have Cash App? I said, no, I have Venmo. And he goes, well, I can't get my Venmo because when he started his Venmo, it was with his like
KU account or something, his email address, and then he no longer has the email address because he graduated from college, and then it's very hard to change your email address and get it off there. So it's like, you think you could find this $10 somewhere and just give it to me or have someone else do this? I don't know.
His idea was that you'd be so tired of it, you would just go, just forget it.
If you find,
he was very excited when he came in with 10 actual dollars. I have $10. I said, it's very nice that you have cash
in your
hand.
$10 bill's a different color. I don't get
that. It's so wild, man.
If you find yourself in the right interstate in the right part of town, you will pass the PayPal corporate offices in Omaha.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I will, yeah. I have the PayPal, too. I got the PayPal. I can PayPal. I PayPal for the cat food.
That's what Frank uses.
Hey, pal.
PayPal.
Hey, pal.
That's very much a Pittsburgh place.
What do you got, pal?
PayPal.
PayPal. That's, I got the PayPal tied to the thing when we get the food from the Chewy.
Scum.
Hey, scum. Bring the Chewy food here for the cats with PayPal. That's how we do it. Yeah. But I don't have the Cash App. Whatever it was that Jack had, I did not have that. I said, you could Venmo me or find $10. Go ask your parents for $10.
I won $10 worth of Bitcoin via a Cash App contest once about a year and a half ago. It's not worth $4.33.
Would have been nice if you won that 15 years ago. You'd be good. But you didn't. Do you have any cash in your pocket, Curtis?
No, because I don't. My cash is in my wallet. My wallet.
But you have
my
cash
pocket.
In your wallet.
There's probably a 10,
okay.
10 spot.
Adam,
there.
Do you have any cash on you or in your wallet? Or
no.
So you and Ethan are the same. No cash.
Do not insult the intern that way.
No cash, homie.
Yeah, don't lump him in the same spot.
I tell all the interns, I'm telling you this right now, Ethan, should always have some money in your pocket. Okay? When the computers fail, you might need an actual real dollar bill. We'll tell you what you need to know next.
You never know when you may have to jam. Duke had four players taken in the first round for the second time ever last night, the other being 1999. Name the four players taken that year. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.